Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to call this meeting to order. I would also like to ask, as a courtesy to all, that we ensure that you have you've turned off your cell phones and pagers. Each director received notice of this committee meeting. The public meeting notice was posted properly as required by law. Director Ellison indicated that she would not be present for this meeting. At this time, we've set aside time to hear from you, the general public. Those of you that are interested in providing comments here should fill out one of the cards provided at the table outside the door to the boardroom with your name and contact information on it. Please take note that agenda item number 6 provides an opportunity for presentation, discussion, and comments regarding Possum Kingdom citizen concerns relating to Brazos River Authority land management ownership at Possum Kingdom Lake. I do have several cards here. But before we get to that, I encourage you to speak your mind and tell us your thoughts. Be mindful, however, that while you can say anything you wish, the committee cannot deliberate or discuss items that are not posted on the meeting notice. This is not our requirement at state law. The committee is limited in its ability to participate in discussions or deliberations by the provisions of the Open Meeting Act. The Open Meetings Act authorizes a government body to give members of the public an opportunity to speak at a public meeting and provide comments. However, the committee may deliberate or act on any matters. The committee may not deliberate or act on any matters which have not been specifically posted on the agenda. In an effort to provide everyone an opportunity to speak, we just request that each presentation be limited to approximately 3 minutes. I have three cards. I'm going to start with Mark and Brenda Pierce. This is a letter that they've asked be read into the record.
Before I start, I want to preface this just a bit. We had a call on Friday that asked if someone were to fax us a letter, if we would read it in during this portion of the presentation, and we agreed to do that. So the letter is addressed to me. There are several bulleted points, and just for ease of readability and understanding for the audio record, I'm going to go ahead and change those bullets to numbers so that you'll hear the difference in the numbered points. This letter comes from Mark and Brenda Perkins. Dear Mrs. Pierce, we regret that we were unable to attend the January 29th Lake Committee meeting due to business conflicts. However, we are encouraged by the authority's willingness to open the meeting to a meaningful dialogue with the PKLPA and PKLA and others who share our concerns regarding the authority's proposed agreement for Possum Kingdom lessees. We realize that this has been a frustrating and time-consuming issue for the authority, as it has been for the lessees, and we appreciate any efforts by the authority to assist in reaching a resolution. Our concerns are stated concisely in this letter. We are quite willing to discuss the specifics further and trust those representing the two organizations named above to be more fully and specifically articulate over our concerns. One, we are aware of and appreciate that a number of public meetings were held while Staubach's work was underway. Like numerous others, we don't live at the lake or in Waco. We were unable to attend these meetings but followed progress through news accounts and summaries provided by the authority and the PKLA. We disagree with the fundamental assumption that the authority's cottage site lease program should be expected to return a set yield to the authority based on asset value. We believe a more valid approach would be for the authority to establish an enterprise. Being said, we accept the fact that sound bases do exist for raising rates. Our primary concern lies with the new lease rates, with the new lease terms, not with the lease rates. Number three, we are very supportive of the PKLPA's effort to obtain legislation to enable sale of the properties to their lessees. We understand from our attendance at previous public meetings that this was the authority's desire initially. It would thus be our expectation that the authority would seek, at least on a fundamental basis, to cooperate fully with the PKLPA in this legislative effort. Four, if for some reason the authority does not see fit to cooperate in the PKLPA's legislative initiative, we would respectfully and strongly urge reconsideration of the terms and considerations of the new lease agreement, allowing genuine, cooperative, two-way dialogue with lessees and their legal counsel in crafting an agreement that sets the tone for a continued long-term beneficial relationship between the authority and its lessees. We do not believe it is possible for this objective to be achieved through a lease agreement currently proposed. Number five, we have been well prepared for a substantial increase in lease rates. We had not been prepared for a surprise switch to an ominous one-sided boilerplate commercial lease document that placed additional burdens on us, removed privileges we had previously expected to enjoy, and granted a number of new rights to the authority. Number six, given the dramatic change in the tone and terms of the lease, along with the fact that certain terms simply weren't well thought out, we were very discouraged at the short duration of comment period and at the refusal of the authority to allow more time and direct dialogue with lessees. We are aware of and appreciate the fact that you and others did spend time reviewing and addressing a number of comments received, especially on terms that clearly didn't make sense for either party in the first draft release. Certain key provisions, which we are sure will be discussed on Monday, simply remain unreasonable. Whether it was the authority's intent or not, the tone and terms of this new agreement, coupled with the lack of any meaningful two-way dialogue with respect to the terms, sends us a message that the authority wants to be in a positive, in a position similar to that of a commercial landlord, ending our previously held position perceptions of a mutually beneficial and cooperative long-term relationship with its lessees. Seven. Finally, we understand that the authority may be considering a reduction in lease rate for lessees over a certain age. We understand and appreciate the financial strains carried by those on fixed incomes. As long as the lease rates are based on a targeted return on asset value, no harm comes from such a reduction. To the extent that lease rates may be, even in part, based on the cost of services provided by the authority, we would suggest that a reduction in rates based only on the age of the lessee, while politically popular, is not a sound fiscal policy. It would be very difficult to rescind in the future. We appreciate your consideration of these comments and are encouraged at the prospects of a productive dialogue on Monday. Please call if you have any questions. Sincerely, Mark and Brenda Perkins, lessees, 4443 Chapel Road.
Thank you, Judy. The next person I have is Elizabeth Nagel.
I couldn't hear the last person, so I want to make sure that the people in the back can hear me. Okay. I'm probably pretty naive, but I'm looking at Exhibit B of this lease form that they mailed out to us that they want us to sign, and the annual rent schedule. And there's something in here that just doesn't make sense to me when it says value of the land, if the local tax assessor does not determine market value of the land or changes its methods for determining market value of the land to a valuation method that results in the assessed market value of the land declining over the term or some methodology and so forth, then lessor may determine the market value of the land by any other reasonable means after at least 90 days prior written notice to lessee. What worries me is, as I said, I may be naive, but I feel like our land is overappraised. I went before the Palo Pinto County. It was a futile expedition. I felt I had a good case, but they turned a deaf ear. And if I sign this lease and somebody else is setting the evaluation, and what is occurring now, every 5 years as these prices go up that they're charging us, it's going to make the value of our land, if at some point 5-10 years down the line we haul our uncle and say we're out of here, we want to sell, we could be taking a huge loss. In the meantime, if the market value goes down, it's almost as if the BRA is saying, hey, we're going for the deep pockets, we've got to keep our flow of income up, so if the markets decline, that's okay, we're going to stick it to you anyway. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but this has bothered me ever since I first read it, and I at least wanted to raise the question, because this looks like something that should be challenged, please think about it so that it doesn't come to a challenge 5 or 10 years from now. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person on the last card that I have is Paul Pulliam.
Thank you for listening to me. I just have a couple of issues that I thought we would be coming in probably after the other presentations. But I have a couple of concerns. One of them just came up recently, but the main one is this encapsulated foam. Under the terms of the shoreline management, requires all boat docks to have encapsulated foam within by 2015. Myself, some of my neighbors, personal friends, 5 or 6 years ago spent thousands, and you know what a boat dock costs, most of you, put building boat docks and using the styrofoam that's acceptable at the time. Well, those with the storms at the lake and the damages these boathouses incur, I don't think many people are going to want to rush out tomorrow and go start putting encapsulated foam in their docks, knowing they've already spent money. They're going to wait till 2014 or whatever, and we're going to call PK Industries or Old Piner Construction or Argo Barge or whoever else is around, say, come replace our foam. And they're going to say, we'll see you about 2020. We can't do all of these boathouses. One man made a comment to me. He wasn't sure if they started replacing all the foam today under all the docks that they could make it by 2015. I think there's a better methodology. I think when the things get damaged, need to be replaced, no question you need to do that. But I really do feel that you ought to really look back at the practical side of replacing all of that foam under all of the boat docks on Possum Kingdom Lake by 2015. I don't think it will be possible. Second issue came up this weekend. One of my neighbors told me that they'd had an inspection on their boat dock and they asked them to remove the sinks. Well, I'm not sure I'd ever seen that anywhere, that you couldn't have a sink. I don't know if it's to stop people from putting soap in the water or what type of sink exactly they were talking about. But Possum Kingdom is a fishing lake and people are going to clean fish. They may take them back up on shore and clean them. Then they're going to go dump them into dumpsters and attract varmints. And fish eat fish. It's biodegradable. For years, we've cleaned fish and put the remnants in the lake, and it enhances the fishing. I don't know where that came from. Like I say, I haven't seen it anywhere, but I understand they're not renewing permits on boat docks that have fish cleaning facilities. So I just would like somebody to look into that and tell it maybe there's a way to limit it. Maybe there's a way to say, you know, you can't have any soap, can't do this, can't do that. But people are going to clean fish that catch them in that lake, and they're going to clean them somewhere. And again, use fish to catch fish. Why wouldn't you use fish entrails to catch fish? So we're bringing in enhance the environment. Those are the only two issues I wanted to address, and I thank you for your attention.
Thank you.